It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. It's guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
B-Pod Studios.
Sports Hub. They get you going.
In fairness, we have to make up for not watching the game.
Every day.
I might watch a baking show.
Toucher and Rich.
What do you expect me to do? Watch every basketball game?
98.5, the Sports Hub.
98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. We got tickets to see Sunday's Patriots game. They don't play on the road. They just... They're home every Sunday. They're at home.
Next 2 weeks, they're at home. Yes.
Yeah, and then they've been at home almost every game.
Except for the games that they've won.
Yeah.
Yeah, they got two wins. Yeah. Both were on the road.
Yeah, and then they just played home other than that. Not good the second half of the season for these guys.
No. Listen, this is not an easy road. I mean, if you can barely beat Houston and you couldn't beat Miami at the beginning, I mean, it's a... Tough. I mean, that schedule, it's funny how, like, I don't know if we just wrote it off at the beginning of the year and maybe we had these, like, lofty expectations for what they're going to be, but now you take a look at it and you're just like, oh, my God.
Yeah, they got the Chargers. They have Carolina. Oh. They have, you know, they have Dallas this week. Yeah, it's going to be hard.
Right, like, Carolina's one that you're kind of like, okay, man, and Carolina's tougher than you thought they were going to be. Yeah.
Very good defense. But if you have season tickets, you're kind of lucky because you get to get all the nice weather games.
No question. That's true.
So if you're just looking for entertainment purposes, then there you go. All right. Hockey has begun.
Mm-hmm.
ESPN had it.
Did you see the intro that they used last night for, it was the Kraken's first game, but it was in Vegas. And Vegas obviously has the best pregame show in the NHL. Yesterday they had a giant sea monster that was in the ice, and it came to attack a knight who was standing in the middle of the ice, and he ends up cracking it and destroying the beast, and fire goes everywhere, yeah, and people go nuts.
Go to Pigeon Forge and see the real deal. I mean, if you're going to start doing that garbage.
I hope that Boston comes nowhere near ever doing that, but I hope that Vegas continues to be as gaudy and over the top and just tries to top themselves every year.
They won't even change the effing goal song here. What are they going to do? Big pregame thing?
They are somewhat rigid in their festivities.
They're not the most inventive people coming up with the in-game entertainment.
How you're sitting there with Kerncraft, Zombie Nation, whatever that is, when you've got Bear Force One sitting right there for you for the goal song.
Plus, think of all of the cachet you would get in the gay community. I mean, it would be really something. All right. Billy Jaffe, for some reason, the NHL said... The Bruins, you start like 17 days after everyone else, and so they will play Saturday.
Welcome back, by the way.
Yeah.
It's been way too long. Yes. I was thinking, I can't even remember the last time I was here with you guys. I think it had to have been either first or second week of March of 2020.
I bet it was. I bet, because when was it, about the 13th, I think, when things kind of went to hell?
Yeah, it was. Shut down, yeah.
So it's probably been however many months.
It was
months
either that week
18
or
months?
The week before. You know, sometimes I'm not here on Wednesdays. I'm at the NHL Network, but it was either that week, like the 10th, 9th, 10th, 11th, or whatever, or the week before, and oh my gosh. You guys don't look any different.
No, it's really amazing how we've kept ourselves together.
You have. It's impressive what you've been doing.
Yeah, it's really, everything's been great.
Oh, God, I caught you guys coming in, too. Wallach, you are in for a great 10 minutes.
Oh, I can't
this
wait.
Saturday.
It's going to be awesome.
Maybe six.
That's right.
Billy,
you'll be taking
I'll take
a nap.
It. I'll take it. I got my robe. I got my very white CDs. I'm ready.
The expectations and the reality.
By the way, if you've been married as long as you are and it's over in 6 minutes, God bless you.
It's 5 minutes more than the average.
No.
Fred, good to know that you can still have Stephanie texting you to tell you to be quiet.
No, it's every day. It's every day. Don't put it on me. Don't you put this on me.
I mean, in the span of 20 minutes, you guys each, well, not you, Wallach. You didn't talk yourself into the corner. But, you know, Rich and everything.
Nothing's changed. Oh, so basically, I handled everything fine.
That was great, Rich. You handled it beautifully.
I loved it. I missed you guys. It's great to be.
My wife does understand, though, that I say things, trying sometimes to get people to slip up and tell a truth that they normally would not share on the air. So when I say things like, you know, when I say things like, well, of course, definitely didn't want to really go. But the idea was hopefully someone would slip up and speak a truth.
And it worked.
Well, it worked, yeah. That time it worked. All right, so anyway.
Yeah, so the games don't begin for the Bruins until Saturday.
All right, yep. So Billy, unfortunately, we already have a controversy on our hands. I was looking at, I was reading The Athletic. By the way, Billy Jaffe on Nesson, of course, pre and post, does stuff on the NHL Network as well. Now, Billy, I'm looking at a mailbag with Fluto Schinzauer, and this is from about 2 weeks ago, and they're talking about trading Linus. I'm always going to call Linus.
I won't correct you this time. You're fine.
But the possibility of a trade. Okay.
Wasn't that a fan that asked
it
that question?
It was a fan.
Yeah.
But it was a fan. No. It wasn't Fluto. It was a fan.
Right.
But there is an issue. Is that you had to explain to the audience who's maybe not been following hockey, they've been caught up in everything else that's going on. Yep. The Bruins had a tremendous amount of money to spend this offseason. Obviously, we know who they've lost. They were able to retain Taylor Hall. They brought in some veterans that...
Mike Riley stayed.
Yeah, we can talk about some of the veterans later that they brought in. But they spent a big chunk of money on a goaltender. Yep. Now, my plan for the Bruins was, you've been gifted a young goaltender under your control for under $1 million, I believe. Mm-hmm. And that frees you up to spend a lot of money. But they decided that they were going to go with a veteran goaltender, but not a backup veteran goaltender necessarily. They were going to pay a veteran like a starter and give him 4 years. Mm-hmm. And that is where we stand now. Now, if I'm not mistaken, in the preseason, Swayman has outplayed this veteran goaltender.
No, that's right.
And so where do we sit?
We sit here at Beasley Media Group, and we stand with the Bruins' goaltending situation. I would tell you that I couldn't agree more that Jeremy Swayman was better in his performances in preseason than Linus Ullmark. Linus Ullmark needs to, you know, even Bruce Cassidy talked about it after his last game, you know.
Tighten up.
Yeah.
I mean, that was a pretty blatant call out.
But it was also, I think it's a coach is just being, he'd say the same thing to Linus. He'd be like, all right, you know, you're going to work. You've got 9 days. Technically seven, because they took 2 days off mm-hmm. of practice, like today, no practice today. You're going to work with Bob Asenza, goalie Bob, and you're going to got to tighten up. You just have to. It wasn't a matter of fact. It wasn't one of those rip jobs, Rich, where he says, guys, he's like, you got to tighten up.
Well,
you
know? I mean, his candor is one of the things that makes Bruce Cassidy great.
Right. And therefore, you know what, Fred? I couldn't agree with you more that at least optically there is, you know, there's a controversy, a goalie controversy. You know what? Both goalies are going to play. They're going to play, and are they going to go 50-50 or 41-41?
Who starts?
You know, I lean towards starting Swayman. You're right. We don't know that yet.
No, they're not going to do that because they gave all the money to Linus, and what's going to happen is...
That would look bad.
Exactly. Because then you're not doing what's best for the team. You're doing what looks best optically.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's see. Here's the thing. I went to practice yesterday. Both goaltenders looked sharp. I can't, sitting there watching drills, and I don't base on who's let goals in here or there in practice is who's going to be the starter in my eyes. But if I'm basing it off performance, yeah, it would be Jeremy Swayman. Now, if we're going to base it off other things, and if there is already, you know, was there a schedule set already? Well, we don't know. I don't think it's going to be nearly as much a schedule as it has been in the past. But you knew, in theory, that Rask was going to play 58% of the games or whatever.
Yeah. Right.
So that schedule was easier to make. This is my guess. They've got a schedule set out for the first couple of weeks, maybe not even the first couple of months, or, you know, probably the first 2 to 3 weeks. If you start Swayman in one, my guess is if he does great, you play him in two, and then Linus Ullmark plays in Buffalo in game three, his former team. If you decide to start Ullmark in game one, well, you know, if he doesn't do well in game one, you're going right back to the kid then in game two. And then I don't say all bets are off. And then it's just one of those, hey, Linus, we know you got to tighten up. Now, you know, you still got to work on this. I don't disagree, Fred, that there is optically a challenge here for the team. But on the other hand, both these guys are going to play a fair amount this year. And so I think that, of course, it's a story for game one. I get it. I respect it. I'm not going to go there and say there's a big issue just yet.
Because I know for a fact, I know this for a fact, that there's people in the organization that think Swayman is very, very special.
Of course they do.
No, but like more than they did at the end of last year.
And I think that they want to make sure that he matures from a hockey perspective in the right way.
But I think he surprised them in that they talk about his attitude.
It's great.
They talk about his mental toughness.
Awesome.
They talk about the whole story with Alaska and everything like that. And then how he came out of that area and how being from that area sort of has made him this kind of anomaly of maturity. I've heard all these things. So I just right now I'm pissed off that they spent that much money and gave another goaltender that many years because it just seemed that it was a misappropriation of funds. That's all. And I know some people on the team, I don't know, I haven't heard anyone say anything about Linus, but I do know that there are people in this organization that think Swayman is like they're just about him.
Well, and again, right now, from what we know in this short sample size, 7-3 record, 10 games for Jeremy Swayman, it's all positive. It's all great. And man, from a Bruins perspective, from a Nesson perspective, from a Billy perspective, I hope it continues to ride that way and they develop him the right way and he continues it, because it's just going to be great things for the organization. Yet, I will tell you this from talking to other goalies, former goalies, especially in the league, you know, do you want to play him 60 games right now? Probably not. You know, you probably want to get him to that 40 to 45 to 50 at most type thing. Move on. Let's not forget this. And it's not just for Jeremy, but for other young players in the league, especially that played last year. Mm-hmm. For instance, Jeremy Swayman has never played a game outside of his time zone, meaning it's the East. They only played certain teams last year. They've never done these long road trips.
Interesting point.
They've never done any of the stuff, these young kids that flourished last year at times, that we're going to see, hockey gods willing, in an 82-game season. So this is going to be extremely different for many of these young players.
Which is why you would bring in a backup goaltender that was a veteran that you could trust take some of the load.
I think they looked at that, Fred. I think they considered that. And the backup goaltending landscape perhaps wasn't as great as they were hoping that it would be, to where they get a guy that is they're comfortable, let's just say, playing 50-50. So then you're talking 40 games, Fred.
Yeah, but then I got 3 years after this.
All right. I think let's see how it goes. I understand your right now concern based on the preseason.
First of all, this is all good news about Swayman. So this is good news. This is all good news about Swayman.
Yeah.
I was very disappointed at the time with the signing. And then now I'm even more disappointed with the signing because you already have a controversy.
Well let me ask then, because there's another part of this.
I think we'll move
this
past it. I hope, I know what you're saying, bud.
But then every offseason we're going to look at the salary cap and we're going to go, they got this guy for three more years. I mean, it reminds me, I won't go as far as Backus, but it reminds me, you know, of some of these contracts. The kid they brought up from Bolesky, like these contracts that for guys, and then so it will come up because you look and you go, they need this in the offseason.
Well, what's the plan? Because there's another part of this thing further down the road that you're going to have to equate into all of it, and that is what the plan is with Tuukka Rask. What do you know, and what is the latest about how they plan on handling all of that?
They don't know yet. I can tell you that, you know, Tuukka's recovering beautifully.
He wants to play.
He's doing well.
And he wants to play for the Bruins, from what I've heard.
No, I know for a fact.
Okay, it's the Bruins.
That he wants to play hockey. I don't know if...
And he's recovering well, ahead of schedule. He's doing things that, as of, you know, a few weeks ago.
So what does that mean? Like, let's say he recovers, and he recovers just fine, and he wants to play for the Bruins.
And say Swayman is still good, then you have a $4 million guy sitting there.
Then maybe you don't sign him.
They maybe don't sign Tuukka Rask.
Right. If things, that's, but here, we're, you know, and I get why we're doing this. I understand it's part of this biz. I get it. But you don't have to worry about that right now.
I know, I understand.
Meaning.
If you sign a guy to that kind of money that Linus Ullmark ended up getting, you have to think of everything.
Of course.
And that's definitely a problem.
Rich is saying, if you rode with Vlad and this kid, and if you rode with Vlad and Swayman, maybe that's not the best. But what if I sign a goalie on
one of these decent backup,
guys? Who's the backup to Saros in Nashville? He's making like $1 million.
And then Rask
is ready to go 3 months into the season.
By the way, I don't know for a fact if Rask wouldn't play for another team. I do know for a fact Rask intends on playing hockey again and would much prefer to be in Boston. I can't say for sure that, like, there's no way he'd sign with another team.
I think that there was obviously...
He has every intention of playing in the NHL. Yeah,
I heard the same thing. And, look, there's a big concern when you're talking a mid to late 30-year-old goaltender having hip surgery. How do they respond, right? Now, he's responding beautifully right now. And do you then have that same scenario, let's say, end of December, early January? Is it still going well? Then, all right, well, do you bring him in? And if Jeremy's done well but not unbelievable, well, then maybe say, hey, Sway, go play 20 more games down in the American League. There's nothing wrong with that. If, we're saying capital I, capital F here, Rich. We don't know what that scenario is going to be. Tuukka will play for short money. He's admitted it. He knows it.
Yeah.
He knows it.
Right.
So therefore, my guess, Freddie, it would be for this year, prorated deal, and therefore then, again, you're going to deal with it next year. But now we have to understand, how's Tuukka going to actually play? How's he going to look? How's he going to feel? All those things when we get around to that, and let's call it come January. The Bruins schedule, by the way, here's another thing to consider. And you brought this up to begin, Fred. They don't start until Saturday. Meanwhile, Dallas, by Sunday, will have played their third game. They go New York on Thursday, Bruins Saturday, and then Ottawa on Sunday. Bruins play one game in 5 days.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. But here's the thing. On the flip side, at the end of the schedule, the Bruins schedule gets hellacious. So if you get Tuukka at lower money, can you carry three goalies knowing that you've got, I believe, forgive me if I'm wrong, folks, 15 games in 28 or 29 days.
That sounds like a mess, because if you do have Jeremy Swayman playing well, don't you want him to get those reps before the playoffs?
But on the other hand, goalies break down. So if you want a third goalie, if you need a third goalie, instead of calling up a guy and utilizing a guy who's an American League goalie, and you say, well, we've got Tuukka on basically what would be the same amount of money that an American League kid would make on an NHL, on his upside NHL deal.
So he's your Vladar.
Maybe.
He might be this year's Vladar.
Maybe. We're playing the who knows game right now.
The thing is Swayman plays well, I mean, then you're not signing Rask.
Probably. There's a less of it. You're absolutely right.
I mean, that's the thing. If Swayman plays well, you're not signing
Unless
Rask.
You're signing him to come on, as again, if you look at the schedule, especially after the All-Star / Olympic break, which is going to have the league down for 20 days.
Yeah, I know. And then, but then you have trade deadlines and managing the roster around, and it's basically, if Swayman plays well, I can't see a possibility of them bringing back Rask, because there's nothing they can do now that they have that Linus guy under contract for 4 years. So what are you going to do? All right. How many wins this year?
I have them in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Third spot. I don't have. I have them in the mid to upper 90 points.
Okay.
Upper 90. That's what I've got.
I have
Florida. I have Florida winning the division.
Ooh, a lot of people have Florida.
Well, because Florida's they're on the precipice of real goodness.
And they got the goaltender now. They got their own young goaltender now.
They do, and Spencer Knight. You want to talk about a controversy? You know, Linus Ullmark signed for 20, so 5 over 4.
How much is Bob making?
10. $10 million a year for Sergei Bobrovsky. They're going to have an issue. And they signed Sasha Barkov to $80 million starting next year. $10 million for 8 years. So they're going to have to, if Bob doesn't play well, Bobrovsky, they're going to have to buy him out after this year and that albatross of a contract. But I've got them first, Tampa second, even though Tampa's a bit of a change team. They've lost their entire third line there. Mm-hmm. But they know. They just got a motor to kind of get in. And I have the Bruins in third. Montreal, to me, especially with Carey Price out, There's still going to be a bit of a squirrely team. They've got some good young players there, but you can't win if Carey Price is out for an extended period of time. Hopefully he gets himself well in the player assistance program.
I don't know what's going on there, but I think that makes it even scarier. Like, it's like one of those things that was so vague when it happened. Unless they've released something.
They haven't released anything. Okay. His wife came out that Instagram post about a mental thing, meaning mentally needed some time.
Yeah.
Could it just be, and I don't mean just like it's no big deal, I mean just the pressure of being this goaltender in Montreal.
Sure.
And it's, you know, it could
everyone
be.
Everyone handles things differently.
Differently, and let's hope that whatever it is, he gets well. But if he's not there from a hockey perspective,
yeah.
You know, Jake Allen's a nice backup, but not a great starter now. He's a good starter, but nothing like Price. And they don't have Shea Weber this year, and they lost other leadership guys like Corey Perry. So I think the Bruins are ahead of them. The team that we're going to look at, and as we always have, is Toronto. I'm still not a believer in their goaltending. Jack Campbell's a guy that they have that brought in last year. He's not a bona fide number one. And then they traded for Peter Mrazek, who used to be with Detroit and Philly and Carolina.
He was supposed to be good and never panned out.
Right. He had great presence or potential, I mean, with Detroit. But anyway, so I still think the Bruins, especially with their depth up front, will be in the playoff, definitely in the playoff mix. Got to see a little more snarl and size on the back end eventually.
Mm-hmm.
That would be something that would jump out at me. I look at a few players as being huge cogs this year in the Bruins machine, especially up front. Obviously, Charlie Coyle, your number two guy.
Question mark.
And it's going to, well, right, but now he's got a guy in Hall. And can Hall be the driver of that line? Can he get you 60 points? And if he does, that replaces Krejci's basically 60 points when in a full season. Can Craig Smith get you 20? He was on the precipice of a 20-goal pace last abbreviated season and the abbreviated season before. Mm-hmm. So does that second line with Charlie Coyle? Charlie, I don't need him to get 60 points. I need him 45-plus.
Okay.
That's where I need to see him.
All right, Billy Jaffe, you can watch him over there on NESN, the NHL Network, and all those things. When we come back, we will be giving you Patriots tickets.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. It's guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Spring. Field.
The sports. They get you going. They get you going every day.
He looks worse than me. Way worse than me.
Toucher and Rich.
And I don't look good.
On 98.5, the sports hub.
Losing a player of Kyrie's caliber hurts from a talent perspective, no question. I'm not going to deny that. But at the end of the day, our focus, our coach's focus, the organization's focus needs to be on those players that are going to be involved here and participating fully. This is a decision that ultimately Joe Tsai and myself made. We, as always, involve a lot of people in this, but this decision came down to the two of us, and it's what's best for the organization at this point in time.
I was talking to the chat man. Who's that?
That is Sean Marks, the GM of the Brooklyn Nets, telling Kyrie Irving to GTFO because they don't want him around.
Oh.
That is one of my favorite stories of the past couple of months. Kyrie says, I got research to do, I got this to do and that to do, and you know it was Kevin Durant who ultimately made the decision to say, well, you know what, we don't want you around part-time. we're just going to keep you away from the team until you can figure stuff out.
Well, also, I found it interesting from the articles I was reading yesterday. I was unaware of who owned the Nets at this point. The last I had heard, it was one of those fancy guys that somehow magically got the oil contracts in Russia when
Prokhorov, yes.
Yeah, like if you ever read Matt Taibbi, who was in Russia when the fall of the Soviet Union, like he was in there in the aftermath. He was like heroin was like $2. He got into heroin and everything. But like, it's strange that just some guys were just like, here, this is your chunk of Russia. They were literally given like just these. So the whole thing was corrupt. So I was unaware. But the guy who owns this team is the guy who owns Alibaba, which is something that I invested in.
The guy's name is Joe Size.
It is the Chinese Amazon. So this guy's like worth like $1 trillion or something ridiculous. Mm-hmm. So like he didn't care. Like he's not one of these. What I mean is he's not like going to be one of these like hands-on owners. He's not Mark Cuban who's like there all the time.
Right, lives and dies for the Mavericks.
Yeah, this is a guy who's got other things to worry about. And they were left with no option. And what's funny to me is that they even would have to pay him at all.
So that's the deal, is that they're not going to pay him because the league said that if you are officially, because you didn't get the vaccine, not qualified to play at any of these venues. Andrew Wiggins was running into this because he was in San Francisco, another city where you would have to be vaccinated to play at home. Then they would dock the pay for the games that you weren't able to play, which is essentially half of your salary. But in Kyrie Irving's case, they are telling him to completely stay away from the team. They don't want him to be a distraction, but they are going to pay him for the games that were away because that's not his decision to not play them. He would play them you would think theoretically he would have played those games
with the exception of the games.
I would make the argument that you are not equipped to play in the games because you were not practicing with our team. And you know, we're having practices and we have them regularly with the belief that they help in some way, shape or form. So if you're not participating in all our, like any of our activities, you're ill-equipped to play in the game. You can't play.
So I guess that he could have practiced with the team. I think there is something about the facility that he is in that does not qualify for being one of the venues that he's not allowed in.
So and they tried practicing outdoors, and there are times during the season. This is all theory. And during the season, there isn't really time for practice. You know, you have game, day off, game, day off, game. You know, and after a while, you know, they're just...
Well, they're still at the facility.
Yeah, but there is a practice facility that they have that, if I read this correctly, wouldn't qualify under New York's rules as a place where he wouldn't be able to practice.
That's right.
Okay. So he could practice, and he could play games on the road, but I love this. I love it because you know it comes right from Kevin Durant where he goes, we are a team that can win without you, all right? Not only are we a team that can win without you, but we have championship aspirations, and right now, you're a distraction.
That's the most important part of this story because Kyrie's been told no by the people he sees as the man before, and he's railing, you know, screaming into the night, you know, you're not going to tell me what to do. This comes from a peer. These are his teammates.
Yep.
His teammates, it's gotten to the point now where teammates, not publicly, but just short of that, saying, all right, we're all sick of your crap. You may make a lot of money. We theoretically might need you, but you know what? We're going to go without you anyway.
Or just your noise. Like your noise right now. Look at us. We are sitting here. We only have James Harden for this limited amount of time. And because of the way this is all going down, he's floating out there that he might want to be a free agent when this is done. And in Kevin Durant's mind, he's like, this is going to be, we are going to have ourselves a dynasty. We can win these championships with us three together. And instead, Kyrie, I mean, I don't have any sympathy towards Kevin Durant because we all knew what Kyrie was. We knew what the package was when you got him.
Yeah, but it keeps evolving into making no sense.
Well, I mean, I think people now see through the BS.
We've reached the tipping point the last couple of weeks.
But going to Brooklyn, you understood that he wanted to be on a super team. You know, leaving Cleveland was weird, but he wanted to be out of LeBron James' shadow. So there was always this thing that maybe, you know, I wouldn't have done it, but, you know, he's doing it. This he's now floating into where it's, if you're on the team, it's, you can't, it's very difficult to defend him, at least having him play for you. Go ahead.
It's also very strange because this just happens to be the final year before Kyrie can opt out of his contract. So you would think it would have been a layup that he would have done this, but now you're in a situation where your peers, and Kevin Durant holds a tremendous amount of sway across the league, this kind of move, if Kyrie wants to opt out, how many people are really going to want to play with him?
How about Philadelphia? If you read the articles that Philadelphia wants Beal or Lillard, and
they don't want Kyrie.
No, but no. I was about to say,
yeah,
that they would do a deal with Brooklyn, but not for Kyrie.
Yeah. So yeah. According to The Athletic, and the Shams has been kind of all over this. He said that a bunch of rival teams he spoke with said that the Nets are open to trading Kyrie Irving. But, I mean, it's the openness of Kyrie wanting to play for those other teams is unclear. So it, now it's on top of, hey, he can't play when he's in Brooklyn. It's, if I do get traded to your team, I don't know if I want to play for you.
Okay, so how about this, Ridge? If I give up a ton of assets for Kyrie, if I give up even picks, say I give up, you know, 3 first-round picks for Kyrie, and Kyrie says, absolutely, I can't wait to come. Are you confident giving those 3 picks away?
No.
Because they're gone.
No, they're gone.
No.
Here's the only situation that is just so amazing. It's so perfect that it can't happen because it's so perfect. What if you're Philadelphia and you've got Ben Simmons and you don't know what to do with this? You have damaged goods and it doesn't seem like he's willing to cooperate and nobody wants to. Apparently the market for the 76ers, from what we're hearing, they've been trying to trade him this entire offseason and haven't been able to do it.
Well, their asking price is very high, but
go ahead. Well, it should be.
No, it's right. Yes. But they're not like giving him away.
So
okay, go ahead.
Would you trade damaged goods for damaged goods with the Nets? Because from a basketball standpoint, both of them fit so well with the other team.
The trade does work even up, but I was reading an article last night to say the Sixers are not interested. They don't want to trade.
No, they don't. But there's a difference. Ben Simmons is a baby that is mad at the team because he lost his mind during the playoffs and they called him out on it. Ultimately, it's Ben Simmons' fault. I mean, Ben Simmons is the one who performed the way he performed. Doc Rivers saying something about it or Joel Embiid saying about it, neither makes matters worse or better.
Right. It's like it's like 95% and then the other 2 are 5% of the problem.
But we saw it. Them saying it, what, they don't say it, we don't know? Like, I mean, they didn't say anything that we didn't see with our own eyes.
Sure.
It's on the world's biggest stage, afraid to shoot.
It didn't help.
It's afraid to dunk. Like, so Ben Simmons is mad for all the wrong reasons, and now he's inventing this thing that I can't live up to my full potential because on the same team as Embiid.
Yeah, I know.
It's all nonsense. He's embarrassed.
Did you hear Embiid? He was like, I don't know why Ben Simmons has a problem. All of the moves we made to make Ben Simmons better in his position.
Well,
we brought in shooters because we know Ben Simmons can't do it, and he went off and off.
Ben
and said,
Simmons,
all of these moves were for Ben Simmons.
If Ben Simmons wasn't rich, there would be no one in his life that said it's anyone's fault but yours. I mean, it really is his fault, and it's very childish. And when I say childish, not 13-year-old childish, like 5-year-old childish, to like turn and start pointing the finger at everyone else. Not that the team won or lost, your performance, you lost it, so whatever. But that's Ben Simmons. Kyrie Irving literally could be insane. So if I trade for Ben Simmons, chances are he's going to play.
He'll play 70 or 80 games for you. You may not like ultimately what you get at the end, but at least he'll be on the floor for you.
He's expressed a desire to play basketball. Kyrie, you have no idea what he's thinking. You don't know why he doesn't want to get vaccinated. You don't know why he...
Sure he knows why he doesn't want to get vaccinated.
He said it so he could speak for the voiceless.
I'll tell you this. Writers that did support him because of the things he did in the community and because ultimately, like, you know, wanting more power for the players in these things, writers that used to stick up for him now have come out and said, and it's not a vaccine issue, they've now come... It's based on what he talks about with everything, that he doesn't know what he's talking about. Writers... Minority writers, writers of all sexes, origins, races, everyone under the sun. This isn't a bunch of old white guys pointing the finger at Kyrie Irving. This is everybody. This is black writers, everybody, are now making the statement, that he doesn't even know what he's talking about, that you literally can't decipher what he's saying because it makes no sense. No, I'm not bringing him in. Who knows what he's going to do? I mean, it really, who knows? Who knows? Who knows if he, would you, I swear to God, listen to me. Listen to me. Would you be shocked? Could you, there's not a part of your brain. Remember, there's been a coronavirus. There's not a part of your brain that thinks that Kyrie Irving could go into a locker room and thinks he sees a ghost. And then goes like, I'm not playing for you anymore because there was a ghost in the locker room.
It's a haunted, it's sure. a haunted clubhouse.
Yes, that, like literally, this is haunted.
Sure.
Like, this is haunted.
It's the spirit of, people past. You know,
it's like
the locker room is haunted with players past.
It's like you would be like, wow, that's weird, but it's not out of the realm of like...
The ghost of Charles Dickens told him something.
Seriously, if he came and he was like, I can't play here, like, you don't understand, there's a ghost.
There's no herb and like, that you, I can smudge and, around anything here.
A lot of people smudge. It was people who don't get it. I don't do it, but it's a bunch of people who don't get it overacting. Like, if he wants to smudge away.
All right.
Well, if he wants to practice anything, go practice it.
Okay.
But he has an issue with all these things that he can't articulate, and that no one knows what he's talking about.
But,
and I'm telling you that if he went in and he said, I saw a ghost, I believe that this arena is built on the backs of the deceased that have suffered, and I have seen a ghost.
Yes.
That could happen.
But Fred, the one thing about yesterday that makes me feel so great was that it was the moment that not only did the NBA, but his teammates finally said to him, enough.
Show me a profession where they would...
Like, we are over
and
this.
The thing is, I know we got to break. The thing is, if he came out and he was like, look, I'm going through a really hard time right now, and I'm, like, having trouble.
That's different.
Everyone would be like, great. Take all the time you need. We live in a society now, which is good, that if you're having problems mentally, everyone understands, take a break. No one's coming down on you. I mean, you really have to F up. If you're Kyrie Irving, given... Kyrie, you really got to screw up to lose everyone's support. All right, caller number 10 right now to the Pride Motor Group contest line. 617-931-0985. We'll score a pair of tickets to be at Gillette Stadium this Sunday as the Patriots take on the Dallas Cowboys. And then, you know, you got the pregame with Bertrand and Gasper, postgame with Jim and Joe Murray. We'll be right.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing. And FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks. And all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline MA.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using the promo code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the stack.
Yeah, stack it up and stack it down. Stack it all around. What's going on, Rich?
Well, there is a certain player who was on the Jets and then came to New England, and he apparently hated winning Super Bowls here. Darrell Revis went on a podcast and talked about his time as a New England Patriot and said that he did not enjoy it one bit.
The way that he runs his ship is a little bit different, but I do give him credit for winning so many Super Bowls. having the longevity to do it. If you look at Tom right now, he's having the best time of his career because he's in Tampa having a great time. When you play with the New England Patriots, it's a lot of pressure every time you walk in the door because it's a lot of tension. It's a lot of noise going on in the background, how the team is ran. You just don't know. You don't know what Mr. Kraft's doing. You don't know what Bill's doing.
Did you enjoy your time now?
No, I did not.
Bro, you won a damn Super Bowl,
yeah,
like, bro.
Yeah, would you do it again?
I'm happy for the grind and the hustle of winning Super Bowl 49, but, you know, waking up every day, walking into the facility and having to deal with the tension, there's other philosophies to win. It doesn't have to be that way.
There's one thing I will say about Darrell Revis is that he's one of the few guys who's left here who I have no problem talking trash on the team. Do you remember what one of his last experiences with the Patriots was?
Yeah, he got frozen out of that. He got frozen out of the ring ceremony. His mom showed up, and the Patriots wouldn't let his mom.
They did him so dirty. So they were having the ring ceremony,
yeah,
and it was supposed to be where he wasn't going to go. So the ceremony was on Sunday. On Saturday, his mom contacted them, or he contacted them and said, "Hey, my mom is coming. I want you to give her my ticket so she can pick up my ring." They had a full day in advance to get that all settled. She shows up and they turn her away. I mean, what are we doing? I couldn't understand the justification. It's different if they didn't tell anyone and she showed up and they're like, "I'm sorry, we can't prove that this is you."
I'd still, blah, blah, blah.
Still then
There's
you would think that you would think that
of.
One of the players that they gave him a day in advance and the mom shows up and they turn her away at the, you know what? If I'm him, F the Patriots.
By the way,
you screw with my mom? All right, well, screw you.
Newsflash, it's not fun playing for the Patriots. The reward was you got a Super Bowl.
That's pretty much uniform across the board,
I mean, it's not
way.
Like anything shocking. And he said it was more fun playing for Rex Ryan, and that's great. And Rex Ryan had success with Darrell Revis, as most people would. He did.
You have opponents say they're not having fun. Yeah. You have ex-players. A lot of them say they're not having fun.
And
this is nothing new.
Well, which is a problem when they're not winning. This is well. Conquered ground. I mean, the fans know, we all know, Bill Belichick does things a certain way. If
sure.
you're winning, it's great. And if you're not, it sucks. It's no fun. And I can imagine that isn't that why he's paying Hightower what he's paying Hightower? Isn't that why he's kept McCourty around? Is that he needs guys to like go, "Guys, really, we can really win if you do this.
This works."
I also believe that Bill, in the past couple of years, and you've heard, you know, Ted Johnson talk about this, I think that he's changed a little bit and he's lightened up just a little bit because he realizes you can't continue to be that way with this new school group of people. And also, you know, Tom Brady being gone, you completely have to change your philosophy.
Well, yeah, they also have Patricia, who is a player's coach.
Well, Tony La Russa, who everybody loves, he has offered a suggestion to Major League Baseball to cut down on sign stealing. Would you like to hear it?
I think I know what it is. Is it turning the other way?
Tony's idea to the league was to require the runner on second base to turn towards center field when the sign is given to the catcher and then turn back.
Yeah.
And after that, he fell asleep at a stoplight. It's a pretty good idea there, Tony.
Why didn't Tony just retire?
How old is he now?
He's in his 70s.
He's too old. He's too young to act that way. I mean, listen, he has just lost his mind. When the guy speaks, he's just sloppy. Just a sloppy, sloppy man.
Guy was one of the great managers.
Mm-hmm.
Huh.
Yep. I like when people, though, like, turn on him and they go, like, "Well, he managed those steroid teams, like, what was he going to do? Like, guys, will you cut it out with these steroids? Stop it."
La Russa's almost 80.
Yeah. But seriously, when people are like, "Well, he managed those Oakland teams. Like, what did you want him to do about it?" Hey, fellas, come on. Knock it off with it. Like they were all like, "Hey, Tony," and going into his office and shooting up in front of him. Like, what do you want him to do? The league didn't care. They were winning. If you were the manager, would you go, "This is unethical"? You wouldn't have done anything. It wasn't his business to do anything. I mean, I like La Russa because I like the way he managed the Cardinals, even though he insisted on hitting the pitcher eighth. But because he was so smart.
He's always been the smartest.
But I just, but that knock on him for managing those A's teams, like, well, you know, Cora wouldn't have allowed that, or, you know, Francona would have not allowed that. Oh, come on. Get out of here. He didn't care.
Well, after his bad performance at the Big Sip Wine Festival, the lead singer of Smash Mouth, in which we played some of the audio of yesterday, where he
sounded like Darby Crash at the end.
Wait, what?
He sounded like Darby Crash at the end.
And at one point he said, I'll kill your whole family.
Yeah, it was
the crowd.
Someone who needs a break.
It was very, very strange. He has announced that he is retiring from music.
Wouldn't it be funny if Smash Mouth still plays?
Well, Fred, I'm not kidding you. Part of the statement was that Smash Mouth will not be breaking up and will continue to perform as they search for a replacement. Guy Fieri, can you sing?
That's called What's the Difference? I mean, that's truly just like...
Another lead singer for When the Morning Comes. How will we survive?
Mark McGrath, line one.
I would like to meet someone who likes, and I really would find it interesting, who's passionate enough about Smash Mouth to go see them without their lead singer, that like likes Smash Mouth so much that they're like, dude, they're in town, I just gotta go. Like, I mean, I just love them so much. That would be an interesting person. That would be a very interesting person, to be that passionate about Smash Mouth that even without that singer, you're like, eh, I mean, I gotta give them like $20. That's a person I'd like to meet. Now, don't contact me on the internet or anything. I mean, I don't sing it, you know, theoretically.
Well, Fred, we're only 5 minutes away from William Shatner getting on the penis rocket. So.
Oh, cool.
Well, I hope he doesn't die. I really mean it.
Get that monitor up.
CNN, yeah, CNN's doing it live. They show them in the truck.
They got CNN.
Oh, Rich, this is the last.
This is the second foot. This isn't even anything historic. What are they
Trump's
doing?
Trump's not president anymore. They're high on all that, on all the viewers they got when something crazy was happening every day. They and that's a non-political statement. That's a fact.
Yeah.
That they were riding high, and now they'll grab anything they can try to get some eyes on.
There is nothing going on right now. Nothing in the world.
There's plenty going on in the world, but it's not capturing people's attention as much as it was when people were watching the news 24 hours a day. All right, that'll do it for us. Bye.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, and all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield. Field.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, and all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Yeah. Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.
There's always a reason for better health, and here's Carlo with his.
My program with Awaken 180 actually started when my daughter was born, and at that time, I was over 300 pounds. I felt I owed it to her to better myself and my family, of course. And I'll never forget, it was my fourth week. I came in, and my goals for that week were not met. And they found the positive in everything. And that was the biggest thing for me. Awaken 180 has provided me confidence, not only in my day-to-day eating, it's my day-to-day role as a father, as a friend. And that's something that for the longest time, I didn't have.
The benefits are endless after losing weight with Awaken 180. Carlo dropped his 84 pounds, and he did it in under 4 months. Scale results, life results, with the solution for weight loss online at Awaken180weightloss.com.